Three money must-haves when real estate investing on this episode of Unlock Your Wealth Today, your life fully invested. Welcome to Unlock Your Wealth Today, your life fully invested. I'm your purveyor of prosperity and host, Heather Wagenhals. And on this episode, I'm making success simple by giving you the three must-haves you need to have when it comes to your money and real estate investing. We're going to work through those on this episode, and stay tuned through to the end because I have some really great free resources for you. Actually, that would be three of them. Three great resources, and you have to go different places to get them. So that's why you want to stay with us through the entire broadcast. Now, for those of you who have been with us since the beginning of the season with our Keys to Riches financial philosophy, good on you. Congratulations. We're almost there. The finish line is in sight because we are on our 10th key in the Keys to Riches financial philosophy, which is remember real estate. Now, if you are joining us for the first time, welcome to the show. I'm thrilled to have you here. And this is a great opportunity for you to jump in. It's baptism by fire, so you'll have to stick with us through the next few episodes as we begin our new season for the fall, coming up in just a few weeks, as a matter of fact. The Keys to Riches, for those of you who are just joining us for the first time, is my financial philosophy that's a baker's dozen of financial concepts that teach you how to think like the rich and be in control of your own money. It also gives you specific techniques to create or fix your credit, eliminate debt, save and invest, all while transforming your current financial habits into healthy money management skills. And we do this one key at a time, one week at a time here at the Unlock Your Wealth show. And I'm really thrilled because those of you asked really good questions. If you were on Clubhouse at 11 a.m. Pacific on Wednesdays, it's an Ask Me Anything show, but we also go in depth into the key more so than we do on this show because we can get into the nitty gritty and address the key and your questions and integrate those so it gives you specific direction. So be sure to put that down at Unlock Wealth on Clubhouse. Join us Wednesdays at 11 a.m. Pacific. You can ask me anything and we'll detail the key for the week and help you overcome your personal and professional challenges when it comes to eliminating debt and building wealth. And again, that's why you need to stick with us. So this week's key is remember real estate. And I love real estate investing because it's what's truly catapulted me and been able to help me build wealth more rapidly. And the reason why is you have the power of leverage that allows you to invest like a baller without having to be a baller to get started because you have the power of leverage. So every dollar you invest in real estate, you go and have somebody called a lender give you like 10 more. So now you're just amplifying your ability to create cash flow and capital appreciation, my two favorite C words, because those words are what we build wealth upon. So let's get into these three money must-haves. So when we have to apply for leverage, if you're not already flush with cash and getting ready to start real estate investing, you have to use leverage. And so we're going to figure out today how to determine where we are financially and how close to or far away from real estate investing we are, because we're going to use underwriting guidelines. It's really simple. I don't know why no one else teaches this, but I'm going to share with you that as an underwriter for both mortgages and other types of secured assets, that you have to give a lender a level of comfort for them to hand you over a big pile of cash, because not always is it their cash in, you know, when you're talking about institutional level lending, like at a bank, you're going and using other people's money. Other people have given their money. They've put it on deposit to trust that lender to make effective decisions to generate a return. And so the way they do that is they give it to you to buy large assets and secured assets. And when they do that, they get a fee for that. They keep some of it for doing the work, and then they pass the rest on to their investors, to the people that are saving and holding the money with the bank. So this is how everybody kind of makes a little bit of money here. Now, typically, when you pay interest, you're not making money, you're facilitating others' wealth. But if you can use that leverage and be able to take that and exponentially increase its value, now you've got a return for your investment where, again, you get to scrape a little piece and you pay off the mortgage and you go down the road and then you do it again and do it again. And you want to do it a couple of different ways. Again, we both want capital appreciation and we want cash flow. So think of capital appreciation in the simplest sense as these are your fix and flippers. They're putting up X to earn Y. And so they're going for big chunks at a time. Then there are people that have investment properties. Rental real estate is an example of cash flow. So you want to have a healthy mix of both capital appreciation and cash flow to build your wealth systematically over time. So the three C's that you need to know actually are part of the four C's for mortgage underwriting. And the four C's are character, capacity, capital, and collateral. But only three of them you have power to change. So I'm going to eliminate the first one, and we'll talk about that right now. That would be our collateral. So when we think of the asset that we're using to secure the loan, meaning, okay, I want to borrow this amount of money, and if I don't pay you back, you can take this asset. So the collateral part is just about what the value is of the asset. The value isn't, oh my gosh, I've lived here for 20 years and I've raised my children and I'm attached to this property, so I think it's worth more than what it is. This is not willing buyer, willing seller negotiating freely in an open market. Only appraised value matters when it comes to real estate. So if you, especially in today's market where it's a seller's market, if you overpay for a property, if typical market prices are, and I'm going to do this so the math is easy, $100,000 and you pay $120,000 for it, willing buyer, willing seller, negotiating freely, open market. But the lender looks at the appraisal and the appraisal only goes on appraised value. And there's a bunch of different ways to approach that number, and we're not going to get into that in this episode. But appraised value is what it's worth. So if your property only appraises for $100,000, even though you negotiated above market for $120,000, the lender is only going to lend on that $100,000. So if you did negotiate $120,000 and you only get a percentage, let's say you only get 90% loan to value, so you have to come up with that 10% difference, which would be $10,000, and then you have to come up with that premium that you're willing to pay for the property that you negotiated for. $20,000. So you have to come in now with 30. So that's why collateral is what it is. So it's not an important, I mean, it's important in the sense that you're buying an asset that has value, but you don't have any control over it. The other three must-haves you do, and that's character, capacity, and capital. So capital is what you think it is. It's your down payment, but it's also something else. Capital is also the money left over. And this is an important feature because different types of financing require different amount of what they call cash reserves. And the cash reserves are the amount of the mortgage payment and specifically your whole housing ratio. So it's going to be your mortgage payment of principal and interest. It's also going to be taxes and insurance and homeowners association fees if you're buying in one of those neighborhoods. So your whole housing obligation financially is going to be a particular, let's say it's $1,000. Again, I need to do math easy. So some lenders only require 2 months worth of reserves. Many government insured loans require only that two payment minimum. But then conforming conventional will require four or more. And if you're doing non-conforming loans, out of the box, creative financing type of stuff, you might have to have at least 6 months worth of what they call cash reserves left over. So this is a must have when it comes to real estate investing. Now, the next one is your capacity. And this is going to help dictate your affordability. And this when we think about these four C's, character, capacity, capital, and collateral, we call them layers of risk. And the reason why we refer to them as layers is because we can be not strong in one and overly strong in another, because what we have to do, again, is give that underwriter confidence that you're going to be able to repay the note. So if you have, if the property appraises and you have the capital you put down, which is skin in the game, a reason not to walk away, because the difference is the risk on an investment property is much larger for the lender, because if you're not living there, if you lose it, yeah, it's gonna hurt. Couldn't afford that spanking, but I'll survive. Why? Because I still have a roof over my head. So that's why underwriters are gonna be really diligent and look for the different layers of risk. And say, oh, well, they're not putting enough money down. Let's look at these other areas. Maybe they have huge income. That's your capacity. So when we talk about capacity, we're talking about our ability to repay the note, all right? And so this is how much money we make every month from our own blood, sweat, and tears, but it is also the money that we make from our investments, child support, alimony, separate maintenance. All of those things play into that factor of how much capacity we have. So the lower our debt ratios are, which what we'll get to when we chat with the last C of the must-haves, we'll be able to determine if this is a good risk for the lender or not. Are you maxed out on all of your credit, on all of your debt, like the monthly payments? Is your income shaky? These are all the questions that get answered with this layer of risk. So your capacity has to be dialed in on the job for a long time, and also spending less than you make. That's a key right there. So that's what a lender is going to look for in this layer of risk. And our last C, which is where everything kind of starts, but it's the biggest one that needs some discussion, is our character layer of risk. And simply, this layer of risk is our credit report. Why is that? Why is it called character? Because how you have paid your obligations in the past is likely how you're going to pay them in the future. Why is that? That's the whole premise of this show, because behavior is consistent. So if you're a slacker, you don't pay your bills on time, even if you have the money, if you're not conscientious and making those payments when you're supposed to be making them, that's going to be reflected in your credit report. So it's like a character report, all right? It'll be able to determine if you've had financial hiccups, or if you're just a slacker, or if you're maxed out. Maybe you're heading for a financial crisis, and because you're in the midst of it and you're dealing with all of this physiology you've got going on, a whole bunch of denial, that blanket of denial is so warm and fluffy, and it really helps protect us from the emotional pain, but it's not really good for us because it's what helps us get into trouble. So this character layer of risk can indicate to someone who is an objective third party looking in, because again, they're not involved in it, they'll be able to determine how credit worthy you are. Are you diligent with your bills? Now, I always like to joke and say that, you know, the credit report is kind of like how they talk about mutual funds. And they always say that past performance is not necessarily indicative of future results, but it's a good indicator. And that's what it is. So if you have challenges financially, most of the problems that we have with money don't necessarily have to do with money and have everything else to do with our choices. So if we have these issues, we need to get started working on them. Now, these layers of risk blend in order to determine affordability. And I have an amazing affordability worksheet that I want to give to you at no charge, free, gratis. It is my gift. This is going to be your measuring tool that folks that usually take the Keys to Riches workshop get automatically. But I'm going to give this to you today. All you have to do is direct message me either on where, if you're watching from the website, just drop your name into the box on the side to get this week's free strategy. If you are watching from social media, Facebook, Instagram, whatever, direct message me at Unlock Your Wealth, and I will be happy to send you that affordability worksheet. Essentially, what you're going to be doing is you're going to be listing all of your debts and you're going to calculate your affordability, because these are determined by ratios. There's two of them that you have to be aware of. There is the housing ratio, which is the number I shared with you a bit that includes principal, interest, taxes, insurance, and homeowners association fees, if they're applicable. So you have all three, all of these things bound up in this one ratio, or they call it the front end ratio or your top ratio. Then you have this second number that is the housing obligation and all of your other debts, or what we call the total debt ratio. And so this total debt ratio includes everything listed on your credit report and things that aren't. Legal obligations like alimony, child support, separate maintenance. If you are divorced and remarried and applying for a loan, they're going to request a copy of your divorce decree because they want to see if you have outgoing payment obligations, because that's going to come off of your affordability. And so let me just give you an idea of how conservative underwriters, to get the super best interest rate possible, they operate on these ratios of 28 on the front or housing end and 36 on the back or total debt end, which gives you only 8% flexibility between your mortgage payment and your total debt obligations. And the reason why it's so tight, if you think about it, you're like, oh my gosh, well, that's like only a third of how much I make, because the mortgage underwriting occurs on your gross income. But here's the thing. Uncle Sam scrapes right off the top. So you really don't have 100 pennies of every dollar you earn. And if you're a six-figure or more earner, that number is going to be like 30 cents of every dollar or more. So that is something, that's why these ratios are so tight. So you only get 8% flexibility. So let's talk about that in terms of numbers. So for every $100, you can spend 28 of it on a property and have $8 in all of your other debt. This is car payments, credit cards, car loans, student loans, boat loans, motorcycle loans, RV loans, department store cards, the worst. These are the things that all kind of go into this. So all of these payments are going to be balled up. And so you only have $8 to spend on it. So let's take a look at how that plays out. So if you make 10 grand a month in your household, either combined or individually, all right, that allows you to have a mortgage obligation and total housing obligation. Remember, we got HOA fees, taxes, and insurance on top of this, right? So your total housing affordability could be $2,800, all right? Now, your total back end would be $3,600. That means you have $800 to play with for discretionary debt, right? $800. So that BMW that you're leasing for $1,200 a month, yeah, that just cut down your housing affordability by $400. So the total debt ratio can push and change that front housing ratio, because again, 36 max. So if you have more than 8% of your total monthly income going to discretionary debt items, that's a problem, because it's going to cut the affordability. So you just lost $400 off of your mortgage affordability. So that's less of a property that you can buy. So, and it keeps going down for every other debt. You got the student loans on there. You got your spouse's car loan on there. You've got your credit cards on there that you don't pay the balances off every month. And boom, boom, boom. And so what looked like you could have a pretty swank pad for $2,800 a month, now you're looking at $2,100, $1,900. Might not be the neighborhood you wanted to be in. And certainly as a real estate investor, it cuts the size of the property. So if you're thinking, hey, I want multifamily, guess what? You're not going to be able to buy as many units at that. So that's why it's critical for that. If you are struggling with debt, If you are having a challenge with this and you work through this affordability worksheet and find out that, oh my gosh, I really can't afford something, or I'm already in something and I want to start real estate investing, but I don't know where I'm going to get the extra money to do that, I've got a really great solution. One of the sponsors of our shows has put together an incredible ebook for you. If you want this free, gratis, totally like no cost, no cash out of your pocket, because I'm investing in you, visit unlockmywealth.com, unlockmywealth.com, and download your free ebook to learn a way to systematically pay off all your debt, including your mortgage, student loans, car payments, credit cards, you name it, and eliminate that discretionary debt. I prefer to call it frivolous debt, because if you tuned into last week's show or last week's Clubhouse, we talked about frivolous debt. And if it's not leverage building you wealth, it's frivolous, even because it's out of your discretionary funds. So if that's the case, if you are struggling and you have a mountain of debt and you want to start real estate investing, I'm going to give you a way to eliminate all of your debt simply, and you don't have to change your lifestyle. That's the biggest thing that most people say, oh yeah, but I can't, like, I'm not like going to move. I'm not going to sell my house. I'm not going to eat rabbit food. I'm not going to do these things. You don't have to. You don't have to sacrifice your lifestyle using this really incredible strategy that these folks came up with. Just visit unlockmywealth.com and download your free ebook and learn how you can eliminate all of the debt that you have, including your mortgage and all of those other big monstrous loans that have just been kind of hanging out there. Learn how to whittle those down in as little as 5 to 7 years. Can you imagine being completely debt-free and owning your own personal residence outright? Think about the affordability you now have because you've released all of that income to be able to qualify for investment properties. So this is perfect for the person that wants to start real estate investing, is already a homeowner and wants to go to the next level, but just can't because we're saddled with debt. So this is a great strategy, unlockmywealth.com. So again, let's just review those three money must-haves are good credit. We also have to have great income streams and money to put down. And depending on how strong we are in each category will determine how much we have to outlay each and every time we go for this investment. Now, there are specific details, and I need to bring another opportunity for all you to understand real estate investing, and maybe we'll do a separate workshop coming up this fall. We've got a new workshop coming up. A lot of you have already taken advantage of the free financial fire escape plan. You can find that at crackingyourmoneycode.com. If you haven't downloaded it already, this is a great way to anticipate those unexpected expenses that might require some contemplation and decision making. And you can get this free by just visiting the website at crackingyourmoneycode.com, or you can text the word code, C-O-D-E, to 602-962-1113 and download your free copy of my financial fire escape plan. A number of you that have downloaded it want some specific attention, and I'm going to do a 3-day workshop coming up in, I don't know, I think it's October. I'll have to check the dates, but if you visit crackingyourmoneycode.com and download it, I'll let you know if you want to take your financial fire escape plan to the next level, or you want to be able to have your questions answered regarding this financial fire escape plan, how to fill it out, where to go for certain resources to be able to determine the information you need to make some of these more difficult to decisions, but they're decisions that need to be made while you're in your highest resource state. When you're already engaged in an emergency, it's not a time to make decisions. You can't access that rational, critical thinking, reasoning part of your brain when you're under duress. So we need to make those decisions about how we want to live our lives, and the decisions that we need to make that are those tough decisions when it comes to parents, indigent parents, special needs children, death or disability of an income producing spouse. We have to have strategies in place so we don't worry about them. Because if we're busy thinking about them but not creating solutions, worry, like they say in The Spanish Prisoner, one of my favorite films, is interest paid on a note that never comes due. So let's remove that worry off of your plate so you can focus forward on the things that you want to do, like, oh, generating income from investing. Thank you so much for stopping by. I'm so glad that you joined us. And for this week's key strategy, remember, just direct message me. If you have found value out of today's episode and you're viewing from social media, please bookmark this show for future reference. And Jim Rohn, well, the late Jim Rohn, unfortunately, one of my co-authors from way back in the day for Yes, You Can, and the 7 Elements for Self-Empowerment, said that you are an average of the top 5 folks that you hang around with. So when you lift up others, so too you shall rise. So if you got value out of this, bookmark it, share it, comment on it. Let me know what you thought about this episode, what was great, what you would like to hear more of the next time we address this key, our Remember Real Estate key. So again, thanks so much for stopping by. For more great resources, tools, and interviews from the hottest minds in personal finance, professional development, from investing in all kinds of things, whether it's crypto or we talk about investing in real estate like today, or the stock market, for all of the great minds that can share their knowledge about how to build wealth, just visit unlockyourwealthtoday.com. That's unlockyourwealthtoday.com. Thank you so much again for stopping by. I'm so grateful for your time today. I'll look forward to seeing you next week. We've got some more great interviews coming your way from Freedom Fest. I'm Heather Wagenhals, and I'm making success simple for you. Now go out and unlock your wealth today.
UnlockYourWealthToday.com is produced by Heather Wagenhals and the Unlock Your Wealth Foundation. Unlock Your Wealth Today and affiliate brands are copyrighted 2021 by Heather Wagenhals. All rights reserved. For more information about the Keys to Riches financial philosophy or this week's free strategy, please visit UnlockYourWealthToday.com.